Welcome in the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, the legend who shows up on time. The only time we're early is when Steven's here. So Steven Lass, senior editor, Athlon Sports. How are you, my friend?
Mike, it is a crazy time in my world. I am buried in magazine work for the Athlon Sports College Football Preview. I was looking at the calendar the other day and realized, spring practice is going to be in full effect across the country here soon. So we got to get our act together a little bit. But on the positive side, Mike, I know you are fired up with 14 SEC teams in the tournament. I actually looked at the bracket to see where the SEC teams fell this weekend. So I did pay a little bit of attention to basketball.
Yeah, that's about as much basketball insight we're going to get from old Steven here. It's March Madness galore over here. The SEC just shattered the record for teams in the tournament. And it's St. Patty, so it's good to see we're both wearing our green for this episode. And with March Madness, that's a perfect segue here, Steven. Real quick, got to remind the cousins, we're back. MyBookie, presenting sponsor of the show for March Madness. Head on over there and put in that promo code THATSEC over at MyBookie.ag. That's the website. And at MyBookie.ag, Steven, however much you put in, if you're a first-time depositor, they're willing to match you 50%. So let's say you put in 100, you get $50 instantly. You put in $50, they'll give you $25 instantly to wager on the NCAA March Madness tournament, which features, as Steven said, a record 14 SEC teams. But that's going to be fun. We're going to be breaking down the games live after they happen right here on the channel. So stay locked in for all of that. But that's as far as basketball as we can go here with Steven. So Steven's back and he says, hey,
Mike, I do have a question for you though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Have you filled out a bracket yet? Like for your picks?
Oh yeah. It's a good thing you said that, Steven, because I want to remind the folks, shout out Cousin Liquid. He's got a ESPN tournament bracket. And if it's in the, if you're on the YouTube now, obviously you can hear me, but I put a link in there and the password to join the ESPN bracket is there as well. So it's completely free. And we're probably going to do some kind of contest giveaway to the winners. Well, I've tried this before, Steven, and I tweeted about it. I think I have too big of a following, people that follow me but don't listen to the show. This guy that won it, I said, do you actually listen to the show? And he said, oh, of course. I love your SEC baseball content. We've literally never talked about baseball one damn time except for the Tennessee won it. And Shane was like, go Vols. That was literally the only baseball we've ever done. So I'm not giving it away to anybody that is that doesn't actively watch the show. I mean, I think that's fair, isn't it?
I think it's fair. I'm over here cheering for SEC legend Paul Skeens and the Pittsburgh Pirates over here. I know it'd be a sad one, but I could talk a little SEC baseball, Mike, but I was curious how many teams you think in the SEC are going to go like to the Final Four, like championship and all SEC championship.
Oh yeah. Well, obviously I'm biased. We're going to do a full SEC tournament preview show probably tomorrow with Marler. So come locked in, ready to troll away. Marler cannot handle criticism online. So that just makes it that much more entertaining to me. But I'll reveal my full bracket then, as will he. But I think there's an outstanding shot. Steven, call me crazy, which most people do. I think there's an outstanding shot. We get four SEC teams in the Final Four. I realize that's unlikely, but not that unlikely when we got two number one seeds and two seeds and 20% of the field is hails from the SEC.
That's very possible. And also given the fact that Florida, Auburn, Alabama, see, I can talk a little basketball, all among the favorites to win it all, Mike. I think there is a very strong possibility. Talk about what a 180 that would be from the end of college football season, where, of course, the SEC didn't have a team in the championship game. For the second year in a row, and to dominate the basketball tournament would be quite a switch. So what is it? The SEC's a basketball league now? What are we doing?
Yeah, we got to make up for our failures in football. We got to dominate the rest. We're already dominating baseball, dominating basketball. But it's all – the glory is going to come back to the gridiron this fall. I feel pretty confident about that, Steven. So Again, shout out Steven. He's the one that came up with the show topic for today. We're going to talk the biggest trap game for each and every SEC football team. Switching gears to football here for the upcoming season. So as always, we're going to hit on all the teams. If you want your team elevated to the top, just throw us a donation of any kind and we'll get to them and spend a little extra time on them. So what made you want to go down this rabbit hole, Stephen? Because it's so funny that you suggested this, because Shane and I, as we got together last week in Nashville. Can't wait for him to recap that on the show. But a lot of what we talked about at dinner was these kind of topics, just drinking beers and just talking SEC football.
Yeah, I think we're at the point of the offseason, you know, with spring practice going on. We're starting to get a better idea of all 16 teams, kind of what the depth charts look like, what some of the big position battles are, what you're hearing in spring. And once you start hearing those things, your attention kind of shifts back to like, what's the schedule look like? And you and I have talked some schedules throughout the offseason. And it's always interesting to me to see how some of these games line up, because you see it every year. There's going to be upsets. I mean, Tennessee, Arkansas last year, Alabama, Vanderbilt, Kentucky and Georgia, the crazy game early in the season comes to mind, with also Ole Miss and Kentucky. So I think we're at that stage of the offseason where now we got a better idea. Now we can start to look at some of the schedules and see how things are going to play out. So it's always interesting to me to kind of pinpoint where the upsets might be. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I thought trap games would be interesting.
Okay, well, let's just dive right into it, Stephen. How about I let you pick first? Just any team, doesn't matter to me. I'll throw up their schedule and we can debate it.
All right, let's start. How about we start with Cousin Shane's favorite in Tennessee?
All right, so let's break down the schedule real quick. If you're just listening back later, we got Syracuse in Atlanta. That's your opener there. It's obviously a neutral site. East Tennessee, Georgia, and UAB are your next three, all at home at Mississippi State. You get your bye week, and then it's home for Arkansas, at Alabama, at Kentucky, Oklahoma at home. Then you get your second bye. You get New Mexico State at home, at Florida, and then Vanderbilt at home. Of those selections, Stephen, which one stands out to you as the biggest trap game?
Mike, I had a hard time picking a game for Tennessee because I love the way their schedule breaks up. You know, they have obviously Georgia, Alabama, Florida, kind of the games that are going to define their season. So I looked at that October 25th game at Kentucky because it comes 1 week after playing Alabama on the road. You get Oklahoma 1 week later at home. And it also comes in the stretch where you're playing Arkansas, a revenge game from last season. So obviously Kentucky comes into the year with low expectations, but on the road in Lexington, could Kentucky catch Tennessee sleeping after kind of a tough stretch? That's kind of my thinking in picking Kentucky October 25th.
Yeah. That's honestly, Stephen, I hate to, you know, just copy you or anything like that, but that was clearly the one I was leaning for a lot of the same reasons, although Kentucky could really be bad. But again, even in a year where Kentucky took a major step back, I mean, I know it was early, but they nearly beat Georgia. They did beat Ole Miss. So again, does that necessarily mean anything for 2025? Not necessarily, but point being, that's going to be a very difficult game. But how about I make the case? This is not quite what I was trying to accomplish, and I feel like it was not what you're trying to accomplish either, Stephen. So this is cheating a little bit, but how about Oklahoma in the sense that I think they could be a lot better than people have them today? I think most people have Oklahoma as a fringe top 25 team. Would I be correct in saying that, Stephen, as you're putting, again, I don't want you to reveal the magazine or anything, but I think that's a fair assessment.
Definitely. I think that's fair. I think Oklahoma will be picked probably somewhere top 20 to 30 or so this year.
Right. So again, does that mean that they're not going to be top 25? Not necessarily. So from the stance of what game on here does maybe not look very daunting today, that could be by the time it rolls around. I think it's at November 1, Oklahoma, if they get the quarterback right, if they get the offense. I mean, it's kind of the same talking points over and over and over. But I think I think Oklahoma, again, not necessarily a trap game, because I'm with you. I think Kentucky's the biggest trap game. But if we're talking a team that this game's going to be much tougher for Tennessee than we anticipate today, I think it's Oklahoma.
I think that's a great call because it's November 1st, and that gives Oklahoma several weeks to figure things out offensively. By then, you would anticipate that Mateer, Arbuckle, the receivers, I mean, you're hearing great things about Javonte Gibson so far at Oklahoma, the receiver transfer, if Deion Burks is 100% as well and playing up to his potential, that is two very promising targets for Oklahoma. So I think getting Oklahoma later in the season is not where you want to get them, given the potential of where this team could be. So I like that call. I would also throw out, what about Syracuse in the opener? Because Syracuse lost Kyle McCord. They've got some other losses to navigate. They are kind of an unknown going into the season opener. So you're catching a team with question marks, but they could also be throwing some stuff at you that you have not seen, and it's the season opener. That seems like a difficult task for Tennessee, potentially, in Atlanta.
Right, and what's the coach's name there? Fran Brown, right?
Fran Brown.
He's an excellent coach. And he just scored a lot of points with me, Steven. I don't know if you saw this, but old Dion, he always finds a way to stay in the news. But this I actually agree with him. He said, hey, give us an opponent for the spring game. We want to play another program. Now, this has been thrown about by many, but most people, I think when they say that, it's like maybe you want to play like a Sanford or something, like a lower level. And then Fran Brown replied to Dion, said, hey, give us a call. We'll come down there, down to Boulder for 3 days. So, man, I think this is probably way too short before the game could actually take place. But if they could pull it off, Fran Brown and Dion's gonna go way up in my book, because there's people that sit around like me and talk about this stuff, and there's never any action. At least credit Dion for saying it, and Fran Brown, Coach Fran Brown, for saying, hey, we'll come play here. We'll let. I mean, how great would, when some of these cowards are not playing spring games, that we got Dion and Fran Brown potentially going head to head with their teams here. I love that.
I love this idea, Mike, because all offseason we're trying to read into these spring practice reports and who's working with the ones and what does it mean that the defense dominated the scrimmage. I get it. It would be like a preseason game. There'd be some backups. But why not? Like, if you want to actually make spring games interesting and add some value to this, let's get a game together. Like, let's let these teams play. Maybe, you know, certainly you do like the NFL training camps where you could scrimmage for a couple days as practice. Then you play a game. Maybe the actual practices aren't on TV. But I mean, if I was ESPN or CBS or someone, you won't tell me like I could get Arkansas scrimmaging Arizona for a couple days and get the game on a Saturday, full of scrimmages. Sign me up for it. I think that's a brilliant idea.
And if they sell tickets, Steven, if they sell the media rights, use that money for NIL for your players. Boom. We fixed the cowards from not having a spring game. And speaking of not a coward, oh man, JR, what a legend. He's back and he's gifted 5 memberships, Steven. So, The legend JR, shout out Kyle R, Nick Anderson of LSU, perhaps, probably not, Robin Black, Michael Howard, Michael Bailey. You have all been gifted memberships. Welcome to the family, courtesy of the legend JR. What a guy. And they're already saying JR may hit the portal. This show would not survive if JR went to the portal. So,
is he going to some Big Ten show or something?
He better not. I'll be pissed. But he's a Georgia guys, Steven. So let's do Georgia in JR's honor here. What is the biggest trap game for them dogs this fall?
Can you pick a rivalry game as a trap game? Is that acceptable?
I think you can.
Okay.
Especially if the head coach is Mr. Hugh Freeze, as I think you're pointing to.
Bingo. You nailed it. I struggled with this one because, you know, so many of their top games are at home. And the way the schedule lines up, I always look for, do you have a big time matchup at home followed by a road date? And there's not a great setup here for Georgia. I mean, maybe Mississippi State on November 8th, but I kept coming back to Auburn on October 11th. It falls into the kind of situation where Georgia would play Alabama, then Kentucky, then that game at Auburn, followed by Ole Miss, which is a huge revenge game based upon what happened last year. So there's not a glaring pick here, but it feels like this is a game where Georgia is going to be favored. Auburn is going to be an underdog looking to kind of knock off one of these top teams. So I think October 11th at Auburn was the one that made the most sense for me.
Okay. Yeah. I see the points being made there, Stephen, and excellent points as always, but I'm actually going to go a different game. I'm going the very next week, actually, Ole Miss in Athens. Maybe I'm way off because, like you said, it's a revenge game, all that. But I think the fact that it is in Athens, I think Ole Miss is going to take a step back this year. I truly do. Now, I'm not saying they're going to like miss a bowl or anything crazy like that, but I don't know that they're a playoff contender. They got a long way to go to prove that to me. So let's look at their schedule real quick here. So again, their schedule right out, it's a lot more daunting than last year with at Kentucky week two, which beat you. Arkansas, Tulane, and LSU. All those Arkansas, Tulane, and LSU are all at home. So you know, you got that going for you. But let's say Ole Miss drops, even if it's just one game or two, perhaps, leading up to Georgia. I think Georgia will be a massive, massive, massive favorite. And the fact that Ole Miss beat them last year, yes, you could say make the case for a revenge game, but I could also make the case that you know, you can count on one hand the number of SEC teams that have beaten Kirby Smart in the last decade or so. So I think the fact that you can actually play with this team and you've not only defeated them, but quite frankly, whooped them. I know it's a different rosters and all that, but I think that gives Ole Miss a little bit of confidence. Austin Simmons in his one drive there, let him straight down the field, scored a touchdown. So if I'm Kirby and company, I think that Ole Miss one is a little bit of a trap game. After a couple rivalries, Alabama and Auburn, and sandwiched between Florida, who knows how good Florida will be this year, but they could be good. So I think the top candidate for me is Ole Miss.
I think there's a couple points you made there that kind of add up for Ole Miss. I think number one, the confidence factor. They beat Georgia last year. It's sort of once you defeat the giant the first time, you can go on the road. You know, 2 years ago, they were blown out in Athens. This time, coming off the win, even though they're going to have a revamped roster, they should have a lot more confidence. But also, by that point, you're in the middle of the season. Austin Simmons would have had a couple starts under his belt. They've got two returning starters on defense. By then, I think roster-wise, you're going to be in better shape. But also the timing of that game from the Ole Miss side of things, you're going to play LSU on September 27th, off week, Washington State, which is probably not going to be very good this year. So basically, I would assume you have 2 weeks to get ready for that game. I would imagine Lane Kiffin and company will spend from September 28th until October 17th on Georgia. So that extra time to get ready for Georgia certainly works in the favor of Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think that's going to be a heck of a game. All right, how about this one, Stephen? Let's mix it up a little. And let's go. We've got a lot of Mizzou fans. How about the Tigers? Which, man, what a schedule. Every time I look at this, I feel like there's someone new coming around to this gauntlet here. Let's run it down real quick. We've got six straight home games. Oh, my goodness. We got Central Arkansas, I believe that is, right out the gate. You should win by about 50. Kansas, Louisiana, South Carolina, UMass. Those are all at home. You get a bye week before you hit the road. I mean, that's incredible. But then you do get Alabama at home. You're at Auburn. You're at Vanderbilt. Get your second bye. You get Texas A&M at home. You get Mississippi State at home. Then you're on the road at Oklahoma and at Arkansas. Where is the trap game for Mizzou?
Mike, I had a heck of a time picking a game here for Missouri. My pick's probably going to be a little bit bizarre, but hang with me here. I'm going to go November 15th and take Mississippi State for a lot of reasons. I think one of the biggest being, I think Mississippi State's going to be better this year, but I still think they're probably going to be picked at the bottom of the league. But you get 8-9 games. Some of these pieces on offense and defense will start to figure things out. But the stretch that Missouri plays in November, you're playing Texas A&M, could be a top 25 team. Rivalry games, even though maybe they're not claimed, Oklahoma and Arkansas to finish the season on the road. So that game is kind of sandwiched between a top 25 opponent and also two games on the road that I consider rivalries. So I think the timing of that game is just tough for Missouri. I also think they will be favored, which also kind of lends me to the upset factor. Like somebody's going to get picked off somewhere we don't expect. Maybe it's November 15th against Mississippi State. It's probably a long shot. So I know I'm not totally sold on this pick. You might be able to tell.
Yeah, no, this is a difficult one for a lot of reasons. You certainly can't put Kansas in there, considering the history of that. South Carolina, I mean, that has been they finally got one on you. So I mean, again, it's hard to believe that. Look ahead, A&M and Alabama essentially cost you the playoffs. So can't believe those would be trap games. Those are very, very well could define your season once again. So how about a little bit of a wild card here, Stephen? I'm going Vanderbilt, October 25th. Now, last year they took you to overtime, so maybe you won't be looking ahead to A&M, but if heaven forbid you beat Alabama, all of a sudden, I mean, I think if you're a Mizzou fan, you're thinking, buddy, we got this playoff locked in, you know? So yeah. I don't know, but I think Vanderbilt is the one where if you go down their schedule, and I'm trying not to like pick Mizzou's trap game based on the opponent's schedule by any means, but Vanderbilt's schedule much more difficult this year with all these road games. They've got to steal an SEC game or two if they're going to repeat the success of last season. And I'm not saying I'm picking them to beat Missouri, but that's one I'm looking at where if you're really going to get back to a bowl game or even improve on your record from a year before, Missouri's one you got to have. So I think that's a little bit of a trap game there for the Tigers.
I like that call, and especially with that stretch that Missouri would be in, because you play what we would presumably be a top 15 Alabama team, probably ranked a little bit higher, and also on the road at Auburn, and then the road trip to Vanderbilt is the ending of that very difficult three-game stretch for Missouri. So I like that call, Mike. I don't think Missouri was one of the teams that I struggled the most with. Like I kind of mentioned, I always like to go road game after a home game, but there really wasn't a ton of candidates here. So I think Vanderbilt, to your point, will be much like last season. They're probably going to get somebody that they're not favored to beat during the regular season. And if you're getting Missouri at home after two tough home games and a tough trip to Auburn, I think that definitely lines up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how about this, Stephen? A little confidence boost for you. Shout out Jeez Louise. He says, Lass is the number one seed in my book. Chris Marler is the play-in 16 seed. So there you go.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Marler does that. But okay, how about this one? This was a little tricky for me, Stephen. I'm fascinated to see what you think about Arkansas. They open the season against Alabama A&M. They got Arkansas State. Now that Arkansas State's in Little Rock. You're at Ole Miss. You're at Memphis. Notre Dame at home. You get your bye week for at Tennessee. You get Texas A&M at home. Finally getting that one back home. No longer in Arlington. Auburn at home. Mississippi State at home. Second bye week at LSU, at Texas, and Missouri at home. Man, this is a difficult, difficult slate. Which one's the trap game, though?
Mike, this is a brutal slate for Arkansas. I went with September 20th at Memphis. Arkansas, the start to the season, getting Arkansas State, Arkansas State will probably be picked close to the top of the Sun Belt West, but there's also the whole in-state thing. You know, I suspect Arkansas State will be very motivated for that one. And then you get Ole Miss on September 13th before playing Notre Dame on September 27th. So a road trip to Memphis after playing Ole Miss on the road the week before, after an in-state game against Arkansas State, that's got kind of trap game written all over it for me, even if Memphis has a lot to replace him last year.
Yeah, yeah, I went with Memphis as well. But let me play a little devil's advocate here, Stephen. If, and this is not a giant if, because you beat them last year, but if Arkansas were to beat Auburn at home, which is certainly not a given, I would anticipate Auburn is, if I just had to guess, maybe a 7-8 point favorite. But again, that could change. But if you beat Auburn, I can make the case Mississippi State probably could be a huge trap game, because you'll have some momentum. You'll be feeling good. You're trying to get to that bye. And certainly, I mean, I think every SEC fan would anticipate if you beat Auburn, then you should be able to beat Mississippi State, which beat you last time you played in Fayetteville. So that's kind of the case for State. But I think you nailed it. I think the real answer is Memphis.
I think you could also make a case for Arkansas State. Like, I don't think Arkansas State's going to beat Arkansas, but if you are looking ahead to Ole Miss, and I think from a motivation standpoint, I think, you know, Butch Jones and Arkansas State probably going to be pretty fired up for that game. You know, you don't want to sleepwalk on September 6th. I think they'll take care of business, but I could make a case. But on the Mississippi State game, if you have to go to Tennessee, then you come back to play A&M and Auburn at home before getting Mississippi State, that's a pretty tough three-game stretch for Arkansas. So I could definitely see that. It's almost maybe you pick off one or two of Tennessee, A&M, Auburn, and then maybe you're a little too high and Mississippi State comes in. Maybe they don't have a win in SEC play. Yeah, I could definitely see that for Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. How about this one, Steve? I'll mix it up a little bit here again. Let's go a team with high expectations here. Let's go South Carolina. Again, they always have a difficult slate down there in Columbia. They get Virginia Tech in Atlanta in the Beamer Bowl to open the season. What a showdown that'll be. South Carolina State at home, Vanderbilt at home, at Mizzou, Kentucky at home. You get your bye, and then you're at LSU. Then you get Oklahoma at home, Alabama at home, at Ole Miss, second bye for Texas A&M on the road. You get, I always forget what that is, that Coastal Carolina at home, yeah. And then Clemson at home. So, I mean, heck, even these non-conference games, Steven, some of them are tricky. And, man, this is a gauntlet here, too.
It really is. I struggled with this one too. I settled eventually on October 18th against Oklahoma because it's a sandwich between LSU and Alabama. I think most people are going to pick in the top, you know, 15, certainly top 15, probably both top 10. So even though it's at home, I'm kind of following your line of thinking on Tennessee, which is, I think Oklahoma is probably going to be a little bit underrated this preseason. And by midseason, they should have a much better feel and also a much better situation from personnel. And we also know, too, Oklahoma should be motivated based upon the way that game played out last year at Oklahoma. So I took the Sooners on October 18th for South Carolina.
Yeah, not a bad pick, Stephen. The one I considered, certainly, Stephen up here in the comments, he also says OU for South Carolina, but I'm going to mix it up. How about this? And I think we've been tainted because how awful this team was last year. And that's fine. I mean, we've been talking down ever since, but maybe, you know, when you count this team, the only time this team's any good, Steven, is basically when everybody counts them out. And when we hype them up, they're awful. So I'm done hyping them up. I'm doing it for them. Give me September 27th, Kentucky. I know it's in Columbia, but man, this has been a series that, man, Kentucky has won a ton of these against South Carolina. Seemingly, the team that's favored seems to lose this game more often than not. And, you know, by this point, South Carolina may very well be 4-0 and be overlooking Kentucky, getting ready for that bye, eyeing ahead to LSU on the road, you know, 4-0, certainly not a guarantee. Vanderbilt would bicker about that. And certainly Missouri, who where they have kind of owned you until last year. So by no means is South Carolina guaranteed to be 4-0, but there's an outstanding shot that they are. And then I think that Kentucky game looms very, very large as a trap game.
Anytime we can get the Sunglasses Bowl mentioned, I'm all for it. Yeah, I like your thinking there, Mike. I also like the fact that Kentucky has an off week before they play South Carolina. So they will play Eastern Michigan and then go on the road to play South Carolina. So a lot of unknowns for Kentucky, but as far as setting up for your first SEC road trip of the season, having a bye week before that is a really nice way to start things for Kentucky.
Yeah. You know, you're not a great team though, Stephen, when kind of like the one silver lining, we're like, well, they're going to be rested, you know? I'm sorry, Kentucky. But again, I told you, I'm going to talk down to you so that you exceed expectations. This is all part of my master plan here.
To get Mark Stoops a contract extension?
I'm terrified, Steven. I think they're locked in with Stoops. Did you see the comments from Mitch Barnhart? Basically, you know, it was a one-year dip. We ain't running someone off for a one-year dip, even though, 2-7-6s, when you beat four non-conference teams that are awful, and you were preseason top 25, I believe, in 22 and 23, but you win 7-6. That's not a dip, Steven. I guess that's his expectations up here.
Also, it would worry me that they are very heavy into the portal this year, and a lot of those guys either have 1 or 2 years of eligibility left, because you're probably going to be doing the same thing again next year, assuming this works out. And if it doesn't, then that's a totally different story about who's on the sidelines next year. But like you said, those comments make me think that there's not a lot of urgency for a coaching change, even if they fall short of a bowl game this year.
Right. If it does, here's what's going to happen, Steve. I'm mapping it out already. Kentucky fails again. They're not going to get rid of Stoops. His buyout's too massive. We're going to see him go full Brian Kelly, and he'll start donating to the NIL to make up for, you know, that's how you show the fans that you really care, when really you're just trying to delay your eventual firing. You know what?
So it's like some strategically announced NIL donations, maybe in late October, early November.
Exactly. Like, you don't see Kirby Smart donating to the NIL. You know what I mean? Like, he's earned the right. He didn't have to, but Mark Stoops, you ain't there, and certainly Brian Kelly, who with the family come down here to win a championship, you have not earned that either.
Man, how far? I mean, it's funny. I kind of forgot about the whole family thing. It's just, there's been so many things that have happened in the Brian Kelly era. But man, I mean, it is going to be. Kentucky is one of the most interesting teams. It's probably not on everyone's national radar this year, just because of the coaching, the roster situation, and all of the pieces that they've brought in, and the way things kind of bottomed out last year. So I know probably the national attention is probably going to divert it elsewhere, but I think Kentucky is really fascinating.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll have many night games, Stephen, because this is one of the most veteran groups, the oldest groups in all of college football. I don't think they're going to be, these guys are going to be going to bed by 8 or 9 o'clock. So if they have any night games, Kentucky could be in trouble. You know what?
A deal with Sleep Number, NIL Sleep Number in Kentucky.
Well, speaking of deals, Stephen, the Cousins can get a deal right now this week. Fantastic sponsor, Brunt Workwear. Brunt sent us over a ton of gear, Stephen. They sent us boots. They sent Shane over a sweater that he is absolutely in love with over here. So check out bruntworkwear.com/SEC. And with that promo code SEC over at bruntworkwear.com, you'll get $10 off your first order over at Brunt. And again, this is workwear, waterproof, safety toe, soft toe, pull up, lace up, however you want them. That's a great thing about these boots, Steven. You can customize every aspect. So if you're looking for a good work boot, check out bruntworkwear.com/SEC. They might be the most comfortable work boots, Steven, on the planet, and they deliver real performance on the job. I just took my dog for a walk, and I was wearing my Brunt, because I'm kind of terrified of snakes and things of that nature. So if a snake were to come, my Brunt would brunt his skull. You know what I mean?
It's the perfect time to be getting those work boots and all that work apparel because, you know, if you've been like me, you've been inside watching football, got to get that list done before football season starts again, all the home improvements. So that's a perfect sponsor for this point with all the yard work and housework to do. As you know, Mike, when you're a homeowner, there is a never ending list of things that have to be done.
Right. And like Cousin Oliver says, Cousin Shane won't touch a pair of work boots. Normally that is true, but Brunt, he loves them. So Oliver, get you some of that. And don't forget promo code SEC again at bruntworkwear.com/SEC for $10 off your order. Speaking of deals, Stephen, someone that needs discounts to support their fledgling football program. They got a can. They're collecting donations. We got to get to where football's fair again for Alabama, Stephen. They've dominated the sport for 20 years, but thank God that we're getting back to fair football. Here's their schedule here. At Florida State, what is it fair? They got to play Florida State and Wisconsin, Stephen. That's not fair, if you ask me. But and they get ULM sandwiched in there. You get the bye week. You're at Georgia. You get Vandy at home, at Mizzou, Tennessee at home, at South Carolina. You get your second bye there. And then you're at LSU. LSU at home, Oklahoma at home. And I always forget this is Eastern Illinois.
That's right.
I'm getting it. All right, Eastern Illinois, who cares? You're going to score 100 on them. And then the Iron Bowl is at Auburn this year. So where's the trap game for the Crimson Tide, Stephen?
Mike, I am going October 11th against Missouri. I think when you look at Alabama's schedule, the SEC opener is, of course, at Georgia. Then it's still funny to say this, a revenge game against Vanderbilt on October 4th. Then you get that road game at Missouri, and then there's the home game against Tennessee, followed by the South Carolina trip. That is a very difficult schedule for Alabama. So I'm just looking at it as the Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, all top 15. Certainly some Georgia will be picked in the top five. A ton of high-profile showdowns. Also, with the way the game played out last year, I suspect Missouri will be very motivated for that game on October 11th. And if you're thinking Missouri, you're thinking the way the schedule breaks down, you've got to get one of these big time showdowns to make your case for the playoffs. So I think that one on October 11th makes a lot of sense for Alabama.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. And you stole my talking point right there, Stephen. They absolutely waxed Missouri last year. So there's motivation on Missouri's side. I think there is perhaps an Alabama overlooking Missouri. You know, at this point in time, Missouri could be undefeated. And even if they have a loss, they'll still be very alive for the college football playoff. And this could be a game that they could not quite punch their ticket to the playoff, but get much, much closer and get national respect. So I think for all those reasons, this is a difficult one to pick because certainly Florida State, you know, being the opener, given that it's on the road, I would imagine both those teams are, you know, how can you not look ahead to that one? So certainly can't put at Georgia. That may be the game of the year in the SEC. I saw a comment from War Eagle. He says Auburn. you can't put the Iron Bowl as a trap game. Come on now. That's the biggest damn game in that state annually. So we're running out of options here. Tennessee certainly is not, I wouldn't think. Maybe. I wouldn't even say Oklahoma, the way they waxed you. So I think this was a kind of a slam dunk, no-brainer. It is Missouri, October 11th. Although, don't overlook Vanderbilt, because last time you did, oh, buddy, they snapped that 41-year skid, whatever, of number one or Alabama losing to Vanderbilt. So it's hard for me to even see Alabama overlook Vanderbilt.
Also, with Alabama last season, three of their four losses were on the road, and two of those, Vanderbilt and Oklahoma, they were favored in. And of course, the fourth one was the bowl game against Michigan. So it's almost targeting which road game could be problematic until we get a little bit more data on Kalen DeBoer to figure out if this is a trend or not a trend. Also, Mike, worth noting, Florida State in the opener, that'll be Gus Malzahn calling the plays for Florida State this year. So he's had some success against Alabama. That's probably not what Alabama fans wanted to hear.
It's been a while, though. You know what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been a while. And also, you may remember Missouri playing Boston College. Thomas Castellanos, the quarterback, you see, is at Florida State this year. So totally different Florida State roster. A lot of new faces. It could be a little bit tricky for Alabama in the opener with all those changes at Florida State.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Florida State also hire a defensive coordinator, a new defensive coordinator?
Yeah, Nebraska's defensive coordinator, Tony White. So new schemes on both sides of the ball. If you're wanting to make the case like it is a trap game, that would be it for me. Like, you have all these changes on both sides of the ball, new starting quarterback, new schemes. Like, how is this all going to look? Like, there's the element of surprise in the season opener for Florida State.
And, you know, funny that you say that. So Florida State, they blew up the entire coaching staff, essentially, at least the coordinator. Yeah. So that's when you know things are going horribly, and that is a card Mark Stoops has yet to play. So again, Mark Stoops is coming back. I've resigned myself. He's coming back to 2026, and if it goes horribly, he'll just fire the coordinators and say, "Oh, it was their fault." You know what?
That's a good call, because that's like the last card you could play before you actually use your job. Like, if you're Mike Norvell and you have a losing season this year, that's it. Like, you change the coach. The coordinators, now you got to change the head coach. So yeah, that's a good card to hold in the back pocket if you're a head coach and fire on the coordinators and position coaches.
Well, speaking of perhaps being on his last card here, how about LSU, Steve? What is the trap game for old Brian Kelly and the family? We got at Clemson right out the gate. That's tricky. Louisiana Tech at home, Florida at home, Southeast Louisiana also at home, at Ole Miss. Get your first bye, and you're home for South Carolina. Then you're at Vanderbilt. You get Texas A&M at home. Then you get your second bye, and you're at Alabama. And then it's Arkansas at home, Western Kentucky at home, and wrapping up at Oklahoma. Where's the trap game for them LSU Tigers?
I am going October the 18th at Vanderbilt. the way the schedule breaks down for LSU, there's significant challenges in the first half and in the second half of the schedule. But that game falls after playing South Carolina, and Texas A&M is ahead the next week. And then, of course, on the horizon is that showdown with Alabama on November 8th. But also, I'm just thinking back to last year, Vanderbilt picked off Alabama at home. It feels like they're going to get somebody we don't expect. So October 18th, Vanderbilt hosting LSU. That's my pick for trap game.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, Stephen, but I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to say November 15th is late in the schedule. This was a tough one for me because normally those trap games are typically earlier in the season historically, but I think for LSU, I think it's this late one because it's right after Alabama. And historically, LSU struggles after they lose to Alabama. You know, maybe that will not be the case moving forward, because it used to just be, well, we ain't winning the West. What have we got to play for? Different era. You could still lose to a team like Alabama and cruise to the college football playoff if you're not losing any other games. So with all that being said, I think it's Arkansas. I think this is one where every time I talked to an Arkansas person, Steven, they say, man, we got to keep this LSU rivalry. I talk to LSU people, they don't even know it's a damn rivalry. You know what I mean? So this is like a game where one side, it means everything. For other people, it's just another game on the slate that we're favored by a touchdown at home, or two touchdowns perhaps. So I think LSU, if there's one really big trap game, it's Arkansas at home right after playing at Alabama.
Because the Alabama LSU game is typically, and it's obviously the styles have changed, it's typically one of the harder hitting games of the year, like from a physicality standpoint. We always talk about the body blow theory of playing a team like Alabama, and then the next week, what's your kind of level of readiness for another SEC game? Also, if I'm not mistaken, I think 4 out of the last 5 Arkansas-LSU games have been decided by a field goal. So that's a good call. You know, obviously the rivalry angle of this kind of series trend, but also the timing right after play in Alabama. That's a tough one for LSU.
Yeah, let me look that up while we're sitting here talking. LSU-Arkansas, I know a lot of those games, you're right, have been decided by you about nailed it. Last year, of course, LSU won by 24, but the 4 years prior, all decided by 3 points. So, yeah, again, I think historically that's one Arkansas really cares about. That's one where if you're Sam Pittman, perhaps that could save your job. If Talen Green catches fire, you know, if Talen Green plays as well as he possibly can, I mean, I think Arkansas could play with anybody. I really do.
Yeah, he is the ultimate like difference maker, wild card type player. Like every year you come into a season and you see there's that one quarterback that is on a team that has question marks around him. But if the quarterback hits and he's able to elevate his play, a lot of those question marks that you had about some of these teams are minimized because he can overcome them. So I'm with you on Talen Green. I think the second year under Bobby Petrino is typically good, and that's dangerous for the rest of the SEC to overlook Arkansas given what level his game could go to this year.
All right, how about this one, Steven? How about them fighting Texas Aggies down there? Texas A&M, UTEP, that's UTEP, right? UTSA. Same thing, whatever. You know, these divisional Texas schools. UTSA at home, Utah State at home, at Notre Dame. Ooh, get the backside of that one. Tricky. Then you get your bye week for Auburn at home, Mississippi State at home, Florida at home, at Arkansas, at LSU. You get your second bye for Mizzou on the road, South Carolina at home, Samford at home, and at Texas to wrap us up. What is the number one trap game for Texas A&M, Steven?
I am going October the 18th. At Arkansas, speaking of Arkansas and Talen Green, you know, you just look at the way the schedule breaks down for Texas A&M, and this is the first road game in SEC play for Texas A&M in 2025. But also, it's the first time, you know, they've played in Fayetteville since, I think, 2013. So a lot has changed since then. You're going on the road to an Arkansas team that will be motivated and has already picked off. We saw this last year beating Tennessee. So I like the timing. I like the storylines angle here for Arkansas, getting Texas A&M at home after playing Jerry's World. So I think given the fact that Arkansas can, I think, will pick off somebody much like Vanderbilt, I would be very, very wary about going into Fayetteville and overlooking Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. And that's an excellent analysis and a pick, Stephen. But I'm gonna do a little different here. I'm going to say late in the year, November 15th, I know it's at home, but man, even the most diehard Aggie will tell you, what does A&M do? They falter down the stretch. You know what I mean? So they got a lot of tough games right here in the first six games. Notre Dame, Auburn, Florida, that Arkansas game you just referenced, LSU at Missouri. I mean, all these games are losable if you don't show up and play. So I think A&M will probably have a pretty good record, but South Carolina, was it a one-off? Did they find something? I don't know, man. They outmanned you. They out-physical. They dominated you in the second half last year. I think South Carolina is a tricky one. I really do. I don't know. I'm just getting a weird feeling, and I'm not even sitting here saying that South Carolina is like a lock for the playoff or anything. I'm just saying they showed me something, particularly in this game last year, where they kind of just manned up and kind of blew A&M off the ball. So if they can do that again, much, much, much more difficult to do that in College Station than it is in Columbia, South Carolina, but they did it. So I think South Carolina at home is a game most A&M fans simply pencil in as a W. And I think that's a mistake this year.
it's crazy that A&M is going to go a month in the second half of the season with just one SEC home game. You know, they play Florida October 11th, and then the next game at home will be November 15th against South Carolina. I do think from a revenge angle, I think you could make the case that A&M, certainly going on the road to Missouri, then there's the trip to Texas later in the season. Those two things loom large, but you could also play up if you're A&M, hey, it's a revenge game based upon everything you said there with how they just took control at South Carolina last year. So I think revenge for A&M, but also what would worry me is South Carolina's teams get better in the second half of the season under Shane Beamer. So here you are, a lot of questions for South Carolina coming into the year. They're probably going to be better in November. One home game in the SEC play in the second half of the season with the bookends of Missouri and Texas. Yeah, that would have my attention if I'm Texas A&M.
Yeah, it is safe to say, Stephen, you said South Carolina always gets better in the second half. I think Shane Beamer, he is a fan and a user, no doubt, of Mando. Shopmando.com. Don't forget, promo code SEC, $5 off your entire order, which is $40 off the entire starter pack over at Shop Mando. What is this Shop Mando, Steven? This whole body deodorant keeps you fresh. I wear it. I put it on before I go to the gym, so I'm not like the smelliest guy at the gym. You know, you don't want to be that guy. So that's what I use my Shop Mando for, but it is safe to use anywhere on your body. And a doctor, clinically proven to block odor all day, designed by clinically proven doctors to control body odor better than shower and soap alone. So again, check out shopmando.com with that promo code SEC to get you $5 off, which is 40%. Off the entire product over at Shop Mando. Get you a starter pack. Let them know we sent you over there with that promo code SEC, and you will not be stinking, unlike some of these trap game picks from us. You know what?
You definitely want it if you're going to be in the stands on August 30th against UTSA if you're in College Nation, because that is going to be a scorcher. So, yeah, definitely. Mando could come in handy for SEC fans early in the season.
Yep. Well, you know, who also could use some help not being stinky, Steven? That's Auburn. Come on, what's the trap game for the Auburn Tigers? Let's break it down. They got at Baylor in the opener, which they have moved up to Friday. Don't lose that one, Hugh. I mean, Friday, first weekend, everybody's going to be watching. They may fire you by Ball State if you do that. You get Ball State at home, South Alabama at home, at Oklahoma, at A&M. Then you get your bye week. Home for Georgia, Mizzou, both those back-to-back at home. Then at Arkansas, Kentucky at home, at Vanderbilt, you get your second bye. You're going to need it for Mercer at home. And then the Iron Bowl, Alabama at home. What's the biggest trap game for the Auburn Tigers, Stephen?
I am going October 25th against Arkansas. Because if you look at the way that stretch of games breaks down for Auburn, you've got four games, but three of them are at home. And Arkansas, of course, is the only road game within that stretch. So middle of the season, on the road, after playing a couple, you know, difficult SEC games to start, I think that's got kind of a trap game on it for Auburn.
A lot of people are saying South Alabama. I mean, he always drops these games, or at least one of these a year. Any danger of losing to South Alabama?
I would be a little bit worried about that game if I'm Auburn. I think South Alabama will be picked maybe as the favorite, certainly near the top of the Sun Belt next season. And they have a really good quarterback, too. So if you're looking... You know, anytime you see these teams, like a G5 team going on the road, dangerous quarterback play, good quarterback for South Alabama coming back. So I would, that would concern me if I'm Auburn.
If I were to tell you, Stephen, that Auburn's quarterback is going to throw four picks, Hugh Freeze is going to throw his ass under the bus in the post game. What's the final score of that South Alabama game? If all that takes place.
Ooh, if they throw four picks, I'm thinking South Alabama probably pulls off the upset, right? I mean, I'd say it's probably like what, like 31 to like 27 or something.
Yeah, it's gonna be a barn burner, yeah. Pun intended.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, Major, as I said, got the commented there, Major Applewhite is the head coach at South Alabama. So SEC legend, by the way, Major Applewhite.
All right. How about this one? I got a different one for you. I like that pick. You are heavy on Arkansas. That lets us know you hate the Hogs this year. They're not going to do nothing, according to this old Steven. But how about the reverse? I'm kind of tipping my hand as well on this team. Give me Kentucky, November 1st. Who, again, I don't think very highly of Kentucky this year, nor should anyone. But I don't know. The fact that you whipped them last year, Hugh Freeze has got it's only been 2 years, Stephen, but he's got a blueprint down there at Auburn. He'll whoop you 1 year. He'll inexcusably lose to you the next. You know what I mean? So I think Mark Stoops and the type of football they want to play, I think it kind of matches up pretty well with Auburn and their finesse and all that. Whereas Kentucky wants, they want to be blue collar. They want to hit you in the mouth. They want to limit mistakes, shorten the game, similar to what Vanderbilt did last year. Huge if, but if you can follow that formula, I think you could pull off the upset. Even, again, people just think I despise Auburn at this point in time, but I think their home field advantage is horribly overrated. I think it's fantastic for like Iron Bowls and things of that nature, but other than that, it's a very, very winnable place. I mean, hell, let's pull up their schedule from last year. And I realized they weren't that good last year, but they lost to Cal. They lost to Arkansas, lost to Oklahoma. They lost to Vanderbilt. These are just the home games, Stephen. So let's not make it out like this is some top. Some people have it as like a top five place to play in the country. I don't think it's anywhere close to that.
I think the other, I think you hit on something for Kentucky. Is a defense that has under Stoops. It's been physical. It can also be opportunistic. And we saw this last year with Auburn in some of these games, like the Oklahoma game and some of the others, like turnovers equal, where there's, you know, scores on defense for the other team or short fields. And for a Kentucky team, that's probably not going to be overly explosive on offense. If you can create a couple takeaways and get those short fields, that adds up to the upset, like you kind of hit on. Also, Kentucky loses a ton on defense, but four of their top returners are in the secondary. So not a great setup from a matchup perspective if you're looking for maybe some ways that Auburn can turn the ball over and Kentucky can take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and real quick, Stephen, what can you tell us? Because when a guy leaves the SEC, they're kind of dead to me. But old Walker White, all right, he landed at Baylor. Could he be the potential starting quarterback, or do they have an entrenched starter up there?
They do have an entrenched starter, and it is old SEC friend Sawyer Robertson.
Oh, wow. If you can't play in the SEC, just go to Baylor. Like, I'm kidding.
Baylor is dangerous. They got it together in the second half of the last season. Of course, Dave Aranda is the head coach also. Jake Spavital is their offensive coordinator, another old SEC friend. So that opener.
Who's their defensive coordinator? John Chavis?
No. Dave Aranda actually taking over.
Wow.
Yeah, but I think, you know, I love the fact that game's on Friday night because, you know, I love in the first week of the season, we get like marquee games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. But you said something about don't lose that game. That's an extended weekend of football. So if you lose that game on Friday, like on Saturday, it would be just another game. It's going to be one of the better games on Thursday, Friday. So if you lose that game, you got to hear about it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So it won't get buried on a Saturday. It's going to be prime fodder for Hugh Freeze if they lose that game.
Oh, I can promise you and the Cousins one thing, though, Stephen.
You're going Auburn, live, right?
Oh, not only that, but Auburn wins that game 8 out of 9 or 9 out of 10 or whatever the hell he stupid thing he said. You know what? Right.
Yeah, that's a that will work in the opener, right? By midseason, it's everyone's going to get worn down by that, I would imagine.
All right, how about Texas, Stephen? Ooh, buddy, what an opener we got for the Longhorns at Ohio State, potentially number one versus number two in the preseason. San Jose State, UTEP, and Sam Houston all at home. Get your bye week, then you're at Florida, Oklahoma on a neutral field, of course, at Kentucky, at Mississippi State, Vanderbilt at home. Then you get a second bye for at Georgia before you wrap up. Arkansas and Texas A&M, last two are home games. What's the biggest trap game for Texas?
Give me the Florida Gators on October the 4th. It is a week before Texas plays Oklahoma. Texas does have a little bit of extra time to get ready now by shifting some of their opponents around with Sam Houston moving up. But so you get a little bit of time to get ready for Florida. But still, I think Florida, we saw this at the end of last season. They beat LSU. They beat Ole Miss. They were playing better. Certainly games in the swamp are not easy. So I like October the 4th against Florida as the trap game for Texas.
Yeah, that's what I was leaning as well, Steven. I mean, if, big if here, but if you go on the road and you beat Ohio State, I mean, Arch Manning is going to be the favorite to win the Heisman. God's gift of football, where they will be number one in every poll. ESPN will already have punched their ticket to the college football playoff. And then, you know, San Jose, UTEP, Sam Houston, they'll destroy all those teams. So they'll be marching into Gainesville 4-0. They'll be the talk of college football. And then, buddy, well, Florida still got Billy Napier. So I don't like Florida's odds in that one. But they do got, as long as DJ Lagway's healthy, you know, he will be, you know, he'll be a threat to dethrone anybody. Shout out to TriStar. He says, biggest track game for Texas is SMU in the swag. Nice. That's a good one. But no, I'm right there with you. I think it is Florida for all those reasons. I mean, it's, you know, you can't call a rivalry game a trap game. Oklahoma conceivably fits the bill. But that's really the only other one. Kind of surprised. They're surprised in the comments you didn't say Arkansas for this one too, Stephen. But given it's sandwiched between Georgia and A&M, that would make some sense. But I think Florida is the easy answer here.
I think one advantage for Texas is that opener against Ohio State. You're going to be playing on the road in Columbus. You're going to be battle tested already on the road. So any of those new faces on the offensive line, Arch Manning, road start, first game of the season at Columbus, you're going to be battle tested by the time you go play at Florida. Also, maybe we should talk about the Kentucky game a little bit too. I know that you're probably going to appreciate this one, Mike, but you know, a week after playing Oklahoma, Kentucky knocked off Ole Miss, of course. They've played Georgia close. I know it's asking for a lot, but this, you know, every year somebody gets picked off when they're a high-profile team going on the road. Maybe if Texas was to survive Ohio State, Florida, Oklahoma, they go on the road a little bit too high on their ranking. Kentucky's defense plays well. They pull off kind of a low-scoring upset. I mean, it's asking for a lot, but that's also the good for Texas in this schedule is that it's really favorable and there's not a lot of trap game opportunity.
Yeah, and I see an error on the schedule they're commenting on. So Texas moved around the byes is my understanding. So Sam Houston, that fourth week, it should actually be September 20th. I'll correct that moving forward, but the bye still remains the same. It's right before Florida. So there's no game for the Longhorns on September 27th. That UTEP is actually September 20th. They have moved that. So sorry for any confusion, but the byes as they are currently listed are correct. But yeah, okay, we're running out of teams here, Steven. Oh, how about this one? We haven't done the Portal King here. How about Ole Miss, Steven? Let's run down their schedule real quick. Why in the world we're playing Georgia State in this conference? They should be banned from playing any SEC school. I think they've got like I don't know if an SEC school's ever beaten Georgia. I think Auburn did one year. It's the only time I can remember it. But Ole Miss, you're our hope to break that streak. At Kentucky, ooh, revenge game right there. Arkansas at home, Tulane at home, LSU at home. Then you get your bye week for Washington State at home, at Georgia, at Oklahoma, South Carolina at home, Citadel at home, Florida at home. And then for some reason, you got a bye week right before the Egg Bowl at Mississippi State. Hate these byes for Ole Miss. But that's neither here nor there. What's the biggest trap game for Ole Miss, Stephen?
Mike, I have two candidates in mind here. I don't feel comfortable picking the Egg Bowl as a trap game for Ole Miss. So I'm gonna focus on the two just above that on the schedule, which is October 25th against Oklahoma. stands out to me, because if what plays out like we talked about earlier with Georgia and Ole Miss, and if Ole Miss is able to go to Athens and it's a close game, or they pull off the upset, you got to turn around and go to Oklahoma the following week. And then you get South Carolina on November 1st. And I would suspect that South Carolina, very much a certainly top 15 preseason team, I think they'll be there by the end of the year. So sandwiched between two ranked opponents, a road trip to an Oklahoma team that I think is going to be better this year, I think that's tricky for Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love that selection, Steve. That was right where I was leaning as well. You completely embarrassed them too last season, if memory serves. So, yeah, I think again, I hate to keep repeating myself here, but by the time Oklahoma rolls around, that may be a much more improved football team. But as of today, you're going to be massive favorites. What was the score of that? I'm losing track. Well, 26-14. No, I guess it was a little bit closer than what I was thinking, but Ole Miss really dominated the second half is how I recall. I think it was a close one at halftime. But again, yeah, I think just the placement of the schedule, you know, I kind of want to also say Tulane a little bit, believe it or not, Stephen, with their head coach there, John Summerall, you know, he's going to be on everybody's hot board regardless. But if he beats Ole Miss, which I'm not saying he will, they'll probably be like a 20-point underdog in that game or something crazy like that. But those are the games we're going to be pointing to where we'll be like, man, John Summerall, Kentucky, what are we doing? Go hire this guy. Auburn, you freeze, the wheels are falling off. Go hire this John Summerall. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's going to be pointing to that game. Maybe even Mississippi State fans saying, let's get John Summerall in here and we could compete. So I think Tulane is perhaps one of those. The fact that you lost to Kentucky last year, I can't imagine that's a trap game. But, I'm just trying to struggling to kind of come up with one other than Oklahoma, because I think that is the obvious answer for Ole Miss.
Mike, I think Tulane is actually a good pick for trap game, because that was my second one. It was Oklahoma and Tulane. And I look at that matchup with Tulane, a team that took Kansas State last year to the brink. They've been tough recently against power conference opponents, and they've got a ton of transfers coming in. So when you look at their roster, you're going to see, well, a lot of guys left, but they also brought in a pretty good portal class to reload. And also the coaching staff there, I suspect, will have Tulane back near the top of the American. And it comes a week before you play LSU, which is a huge revenge game for Ole Miss. So I would not overlook Tulane if I am Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about we haven't done, speaking of a team on the rise, Stephen, how about Florida Gators? It's difficult to find a trap game, though, with seemingly the most difficult slate in the country here. We got Long Island. We all got to get used to the Sharks being Long Island here. We got South Florida. Both those are at home. Then you're at LSU. You're at Miami. And then you got a bye week for Texas at home, at A&M, Mississippi State at home. You get your second bye for Georgia in Jacksonville, of course, at Kentucky, at Ole Miss, Tennessee at home, Florida State at home. What a gauntlet for the Gators. Steven, where is the trap game?
Mike, you believe that Mark Stoops is coming back in 2026, right?
Unfortunately, it certainly seems that way.
Well, if this holds true, November 8th, Kentucky hosting Florida could be the moment that he solidifies that 2026 for sure being on the sidelines there in Lexington. So I'm going to take November 8th for Kentucky hosting Florida, largely because of the timing. It's a week after you play Georgia. You also have Ole Miss, Tennessee, Florida State coming up. It is a very difficult schedule for Florida overall. But also, Kentucky has won 3 out of the last 4, including the last 2 in Lexington.
Yeah, I mean, Billy Napier said it wasn't that long ago, Stephen. It was, 2 years ago? He said, this is the program we aspire to be.
That's
Kentucky.
Right.
I mean, good Lord, God, get the hell out of here with that. But yeah, they have owned you until last year. You waxed them. But, wrong schedule here. but yeah, so I certainly considered Kentucky late in the year. Going to be a banged up football team. But how about this, Stephen? This may stun you here. I'm going to say Mississippi State. How about that? Just because, I mean, look at the gauntlet it's sandwiched in between. And I'm just narrowing it down to the games around it. But Texas A&M, then you get State, then you get Georgia. I mean, oof, buddy. Thankfully, there's a bye after Mississippi State. But if there's one, I think every Gator fan says, oh, this will be easy money. That's going to be a tricky game, and State can score. If they could do nothing else, they can score. It gets into a high-scoring game. Yes, I have confidence that Florida can beat Mississippi State, but that and Kentucky are the only SEC games that I'm sitting here saying, oh, yeah, that's an easy victory for Florida. So that's where I'm trying to identify kind of the trap games, where a game you anticipate winning, but you could lose it. Mississippi State put the fear of in a lot of teams last year with their ability to move the ball, go up and down the field. If they can execute, I think Mississippi State is the trap game for Florida. What's your thoughts on that?
I like that call largely because of what sets up for Mississippi State on a schedule thing here. I mean, Mississippi State has an off week before playing Florida this year. So they play Texas A&M on October 4th. They get the off week, and then they play Florida. So having 2 weeks to get ready for Florida, while Florida is playing Texas A&M, they're thinking about Georgia, they're thinking about Texas. That's a pretty favorable spot. I mean, yeah, going to the Swamp is difficult, but if your offense is firing on all cylinders, you got the timing down. That's a pretty nice spot for Mississippi State in what is a difficult schedule again for Jeff Lebby in year two.
Right. And before any, you know, I don't want to confuse people, Stephen, but they're going to be like, this guy's an idiot. He thinks State can beat Florida. But no, that's why it's a trap game, because it's one you don't see coming is what I'm trying to identify here.
Right. Not necessarily picking these to happen, just trying to give all the coaches out there watching as they order their Mando and work boots for the season that you might want to spend a little extra time on these games.
Right, right. All right. Hey, we haven't done Oklahoma, speaking of difficult schedules, good Lord. So here's the schedule for the Sooners. Stephen, Illinois State and Michigan, both at home to open the season at Temple for some reason. Auburn at home, then you get your bye for Kent State at home. Then you're Texas, of course, they're in Dallas, Arlington, whatever. The State Fair, excuse me. At South Carolina, Ole Miss at home, at Tennessee, then a second bye, Alabama at home, Missouri at home, LSU at home. Man, good luck, because you're going to need it, Sooners. But where's the trap game here?
Mike, I had a really, really hard time finding a game for Oklahoma because the schedule is just so difficult. I eventually settled, and feel free to tell me this is a bad pick. I settled on November 22nd against Missouri. I know it's a, you know, a rivalry game, but it is in the stretch of Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss, road games to Tennessee and Alabama, and then the season finale against LSU. It is a very, very difficult stretch. And also Missouri will be getting Mississippi State a week before. So a little bit favorable matchup for Missouri. Oklahoma schedule's a little bit tougher in that stretch.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is kind of laughable, Stephen. Maybe this is stupid, but I'm saying Temple, at Temple. I mean, because you're right. I mean, I don't know that you're going to be favored in any of these SEC games. Maybe Auburn. And if you lose that, then I don't think you're going to be favored in a single one of them. But, of course, you beat Auburn on the road. So, again, I'm not saying certainly you can't do it. But Michigan, I don't think, is a trap game. I think that's a defining game, perhaps, for both of these programs in 2025. So, I mean, as silly as it is, I think I got to say at Temple.
I'll make the argument for Temple. They got a new coach, Casey Keeler. He's a good coach, too. He was at Sam Houston. And they are going to be dealing with a significant roster overhaul. So, third game of the season on the road. I mean, there's going to be a lot of Oklahoma fans, I'm sure, in Philadelphia. That could be tricky. trying to get a grasp on what exactly Temple's doing offensively and defensively at that point of the season.
And you got to feel like Oklahoma is going to save some stuff, you know, particularly on offense. They're not going to show their hand essentially against Illinois State. They're going to save it for Michigan, right? So
yeah,
how often, and again, they'll probably beat Temple by 20 points or something. I mean, well, hell, they played last year. What was the score?
51-3.
Yeah. So, I mean, they'll kill this team, right? But what if you beat Michigan and you beat Michigan by a wide margin? How many of those Sooners are going to look ahead to Auburn already? You know what I mean? So,
oh, yeah.
This is college football. This is a classic letdown situation. I don't feel great about this Temple pick, but quite frankly, there's just not many options on the board because your entire schedule's a freaking gauntlet outside of three games.
And also, I think from a game plan perspective, I think you hit on something there, and that is I would be looking to limit Mateer's rushes or hits in these kind of games, because you're going to the SEC gauntlet and also coming off the Michigan game the week before. So you're going to expend a lot of energy the week prior and the week after with the SEC opener. So it is it's a tricky spot, and Temple doesn't draw well. They play in the Eagle Stadium, so it's kind of sleepy venue. Like I said, I'm sure a lot of Oklahoma fans are going to show up, but it could be a interesting experience for Oklahoma up in Philadelphia.
I hate my pick the more information you gave. So thank you, Stephen, for being the voice of reason here. A retired working man says Illinois State is the trap game for Oklahoma. But I don't know about that. But hey, shout out Joval64. Just became a member to the channel. Welcome to the family, Joe. We appreciate you, buddy. But yeah, they're gonna destroy Temple. I don't know why I picked that, but they got a tough schedule.
At least you didn't pick Kent State.
I know how bad they are.
Yeah, I think they are gonna take the 136 out of 136 spot by most people this preseason.
All right, how about Vanderbilt, Steven? We got I always get this team. Who's this right out the gate here? I got the Bucks. I always call them ETSU, but it's actually
Charleston Southern.
Boom, there you go. Charleston Southern. Pick your score. Well, good Lord, don't lose that. Don't be that trap game. That's old Vanderbilt, not new school Vanderbilt. Then we're at Virginia Tech, at South Carolina, Georgia State. Oh, Lord, not again. They beat us last year. Thankfully, we get them in Nashville. Utah State at home, at Bama. Maybe that's the trap game because you own DeBoer there. You get your bye week for LSU at home, Mizzou at home, at Texas, Auburn at home. You get your second bye for Kentucky at home and at Tennessee. Where's the trap game for them Commodores?
This is tricky, I think. Vanderbilt's schedule is hard this year again. I think when I was kind of breaking this down, I almost wanted to go with Georgia State and Utah State just because of what happened last year, and Vanderbilt can't afford that.
Mm-hmm.
I settled on September 6th, though, against Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech will be out for revenge from the loss last year in Nashville. Virginia Tech, a little bit lower expectations this year after a not-so-good season last season. And also, it is a week before the SEC opener against South Carolina. So I don't love the timing. I don't love the revenge factor for Virginia Tech. And I think Virginia Tech, chance that they're better than they were last year early in the season, that's going to be a tough spot for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I think that is kind of the correct answer there as well. But how about this wild card, Steven? How about old Auburn? Because we owed Hugh Freeze down here from Diego Pavia. He owns the entire state of Alabama. But, that, given the placement, I mean, LSU, Missouri, Texas, leading up to and Alabama. I mean, that's a murderer's row right there for Vanderbilt. I think they're going to be, thankfully, they get a bye week mixed in there, but they're going to be a beat-up football team for Auburn. But I think you're right. I think it's Virginia Tech because, fair or not, and one game's not going to decide your season, but I think it really helped. You got to remember, Stephen, I'm sure you remember, Virginia Tech was like a popular preseason pick last year. I mean, somebody, I can't recall who, but somebody had them as a playoff team, which was kind of ridiculous. But beating that Virginia Tech team last year kind of put the world on notice that Vanderbilt is, you know, really it was the Alabama game that made him like national news, but it was that Virginia Tech that was like, this ain't just same old Vanderbilt. That's just going to get steamrolled by everybody they play. I mean, they've been a laughingstock. That was the game where everybody said, oh, maybe we're cooking here a little bit with old Clark Lee. And if you drop it this year, even though it is on the road, you know, that's an excusable loss. I think it kind of says, maybe last year was a one-off. And again, one game will not dictate that, but I think that'll put it in everybody's head that Vanderbilt, that was a one-off. Diego Pavia is overrated, yada, yada, yada. So I like the pick of Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I think a couple things come to mind with Vanderbilt. They did kind of run out of steam in 2024 in the second half of the season. But I think some of that was Pavia being hurt too. And of course, you know, they played South Carolina, LSU, and Tennessee during that stretch. So that there's no shame in any of those losses. But also I think if you're trying to build a program like Clark Lee is doing at Vanderbilt, a loss to Virginia Tech would be kind of a setback and all that. And I think you would lose a little bit of momentum, especially if you were to go on the road the next week and lose to South Carolina. So I think just from like program building momentum, I would really want to get that one if I'm Vanderbilt, because Virginia Tech, like you said, they underachieved last year. They're coming into to the 2025 with big questions. And last year, that first half when they played Virginia Tech, it was like a wake-up call. Because I think, you know, I had watched Pavia and Jerry kill it in New Mexico State, but I was like, okay, like we're going to get this for the rest of the season. Like, yeah, Vanderbilt's got something going. So a setback here, I think, would make the getting to a bowl game and exceeding last year's win total much more difficult.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about we have yet to do Mississippi State, Stephen, with the Bulldogs trying to bounce back from a really rough year. Southern Miss on the road. What are we doing? Right out the gate. Arizona State at home. Alcorn at home. NIU at home. Tennessee at home. At Texas A&M. Then you get your first bye for at Florida. Texas at home. At Arkansas. Georgia at home. At Mizzou. Then you get a bye for Ole Miss at home. Where is the trap game for Mississippi State?
I'm going to go with the season opener, August 30th against Southern Miss, a power conference team going on the road to an in-state foe that should be heavily motivated, because Southern Miss was really, really bad last year. But it's a new era. They got Charles Huff. He was the head coach at Marshall. They won the Sun Belt last year. He is a former Mississippi State assistant, running backs coach, and a pretty good one too. So I like what Southern Miss has done in the portal and the head coach hire of Charles Huff. I think they are going to be much improved. So don't let that 1-11 record fool you. This is a dangerous opener for Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm. Now, apologies, Stephen. I think I've heard you say that NIU lost a lot. They're going to be awful, but I got to pick them. I got to pick them because regardless of what happens in the opener, you know, you got to feel Mississippi State's going to crush Alcorn, and they're going to be feeling better about themselves looking ahead to SEC play. Oof, if NIU could beat Notre Dame, and even if that was a fluke, I certainly think they could win at Starkville. So that's the pick for me. Again, this is a difficult one because Mississippi State, at least as of today, is going to be a heavy underdog in every SEC game, even the ones conceivably you could win. Arkansas, maybe Missouri, they're both on the road. The ones at home, Tennessee, Texas, Georgia, Ole Miss. Even maybe the Egg Bowl. Maybe I should have thrown them in there. But I think the only game, this is a difficult one for all the wrong reasons. So I'm going NIU.
I think that's a good call, Mike, and I think something that would worry me about Northern Illinois, if I'm Mississippi State, they're not afraid. I mean, not just last year, they beat Notre Dame, of course, but they've had a track record as a program being a giant killer. And also their style of play on offense can be frustrating because they will sit on the ball with their rushing attack and offensive line and just get these long drives going. So if you're Mississippi State and your rush defense isn't any better this year, they will chew up chunks of the game and it gets into upset territory. So they are dangerous from confidence and also style of play, even though they are replacing a lot that they lost, including some guys who left Northern Illinois to transfer to the SEC this offseason.
Yeah, for old Coleman Hustler's sake, Steven, I hope they're better against the run. Otherwise, get him out or send him up to Kentucky with Mark Stoops. You know what?
I think if Mississippi State loses to Northern Illinois or their defense struggles, I'll make a prediction here. I bet Paul Rhodes will be the defensive coordinator for the rest of the year.
Okay. And then final team here. I saved them because they're so obsessed with the basketball. You know what I mean? Let's do Kentucky, Steven. Toledo at home, Ole Miss at home, Eastern Michigan at home, all three right out the gate. Then you got your bye week for at South Carolina. Then you got at Georgia. Then you got your second bye, Texas at home, Tennessee at home, at Auburn, Florida at home, Tennessee Tech at home, at Vanderbilt, and at Louisville. Ooh, buddy, that's not an easy one either. Where is the trap game?
Mike, I know that you are already planning the Mark Stoops comeback tour for 2026, but there's a chance that this comeback tour takes an early hit because give me Toledo on August 30th. Not the same thing like Northern Illinois. Toledo is not afraid of these SEC environments, Big Ten. They have a track record of winning some upsets. They beat Mississippi State pretty bad last year. Pretty solid team coming back, proven quarterback, solid coaching staff too. So I think Toledo won't necessarily sneak up on anyone, but I think there's a chance that the first game of the season, Kentucky's got some good vibes going, but they have a lot of transition. So if that transition isn't figured out by the season opener, I think Toledo could easily make this a game in Lexington.
Toledo. And I can't disagree with you, Steven. I can't do it. I was gonna say Ole Miss, we own them, right? But this is the only one, Steven, because I just feel so bad. I've been trashing Stoops, been trashing Kentucky. I'm gonna flip it and say maybe Kentucky can be the trap instead of get trapped. How about Georgia, Steven, where I don't know what's in the water up there, but Kentucky can play Georgia tight. They should have beat him last year. Mark Stoops got, turned into a coward. It was 4th and 7, I believe. He said, let's punt the ball, and then never got it back, even though they were on the verge of field goal range down by 1 point. So, I mean, that's elite coaching right there, brother. But if we're going to trap someone, give me Georgia. I know that's crazy. It's probably going to be like a 30-point spread. And Georgia will 99% likely crush them. But I'm trying to give them some hope here. I don't have a lot of good. I mean, Toledo is probably the answer. Eastern Michigan. I mean, certainly not Eastern Michigan, right? Maybe Vanderbilt could be a trap game. Vanderbilt maybe could be real beat up by then. But, man, I don't feel confident about any of these for Kentucky.
Georgia gets Kentucky a week after the Alabama game. To your point, Kentucky's got a formula against Georgia to find a way to keep it close. So after the Alabama game, where I'm sure revenge, expending a lot of energy, high profile showdown, you come the next week and Kentucky maybe struggles early in the season and maybe you sleepwalk a little bit against Kentucky. So also, looking ahead, they get a road game to Auburn the next week. So that's a tough spot for Kentucky, for Georgia, given the series history recently against Kentucky.
There you go. That's what's going to happen, Steven. Kentucky beat Ole Miss last year, kept them out of the playoff, kept Mark Stoops in Lexington. He's going to pull off another stunner. It'll probably be Tennessee after I ran my mouth and talk about how bad they were for 12 months. You know what?
It sounds like the way that the season is going to play out is Kentucky's going to lose to Toledo in Eastern Michigan and beat Ole Miss in Georgia in the first half. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But all right. Hey, Steve, we went about 90 minutes here. Anything else that you want to get off your chest before we see you again next week?
Mike, I just want to say, I hope everybody enjoys the basketball games on Thursday and Friday. And by the time I believe we talk next week, I believe all 16 teams in the SEC would have had at least one spring practice. So that is exciting to get all these teams back in action, and we can start to figure out just who exactly are these teams in 2025.
Be honest with us, Stephen. Will you have the opportunity to watch at least one March Madness game, or will you be too busy covering college football?
I'm definitely going to watch.
Okay.
Yeah. I even might break out the second and third screen to watch some of these. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Okay. Well, hey, if you're like Steven and you're a basketball nut, head on over. Don't forget MyBookie, presenting sponsor of the show. Promo code THATSEC. They're willing to match all initial deposits up to 50%. They also got a $100,000 bracket challenge, Stephen. I believe it costs $20 to enter it. You put in your bracket, and whoever has the best bracket is going to win $100,000 over at MyBookie. Don't forget that promo code, THATSEC, THATSEC, over at MyBookie. Stephen, again, thank you for dropping all this knowledge on us. Before you go, as always, though, can you remind the audience how to follow you and how to find your work?
Absolutely. You can follow me over on Twitter at Aflon Steven. You can check out all my work at aflonsports.com. And I'm at Steven LCFB over on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, Steven, thank you so much. Tomorrow, Cousin Shane will be back. Hopefully. It's been about a week. He'll be back. And then I think as soon as that's done with, we're going to do like a double header with Chris Marler and I. I think that's tomorrow. We're going to preview the NCAA tournaments. You got double shows for the price of free. It don't cost you anything. But so two shows, either today or tomorrow. Or now it just sounds stupid. Tomorrow or the next day. But I'm pretty sure it's tomorrow. So be locked in to that. Stay on the channel. We appreciate each and every one of you. I think I'm losing my mind here. We appreciate you. We'll catch you all today.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.